I don't have to say anything after that. So my name is Sharon Babala, and my reflection is on the part of Wellspring that was about spiritual direction and meeting with a spiritual director once a month, which was something new to me and that I just loved. So I thought when I started Wellspring that I had a pretty good handle on spiritual practice and direction. Silly me. One of the many benefits of the Wellspring course is meeting with the spiritual director once a month. For me, these meetings were a two-person, co-created, deep meditation and exploration into what it means to be human and spiritual simultaneously. Being a multidimensional human living in a multidimensional world is messy at best. Lots going on. Lots of pull me, push me. But bring into the picture a multidimensional spiritual self, and things get confusing and a bit chaotic, at least for me. So this is what we worked on: fine-tuning and honing in on the nature of true self, with a big S, of touching the divine that lives in me and all of us, and shoring up the timbers, the structure of what I really want my life to look like when I live from my heart's desire. I am more focused and at the same time at ease with my path in life, living fully awake with heart wide open. And now we're going to do a meditation that's probably a little different from meditations that we've done here before. And we have our plants in the audience. We all have bells. So how this is going to work is the people who have the bells, well, we'll all be sitting in a comfortable place, but we'll take a deep breath in, and on the exhale, people will be ringing their bells at the end of the exhale, just chiming their bells. And how this will look like is after a little while, the bells will start to ring at different times because we all have different rhythms of breath. So the meditation is simply to allow the sound of the bells to enter in, to listen, and that's it. And then see what happens. It's a grand experiment. So a sound meditation. So if you want to just get comfortable, maybe feet on the floor, if that works for you in your body. I'll start the ringing of the chime. You can gently close your eyes, or if that doesn't work, have your gaze towards the floor just to kind of go inside and draw awareness inside. And we'll start. Breathing in and breathing out. And we'll slowly let the bells come to silence. Stay with your awareness inside for another couple breaths. And then when you're ready, opening your eyes and coming back into the room.
I'm Pam Crane. I came to FUSA and the Albany area a little over a year ago, seeking a new life, a new self, a new Pam, and longing for a deep daily spiritual existence. It was here last summer during a Sunday service just like this when I witnessed the fruits of Wellspring, a small group of fellow seekers spending 9 months independently and as a supportive community yearning for and experiencing spiritual growth. This was for me, and I signed up. To say the least, my expectations were high, and these were my hopes. develop deep bonds with the members of my group, find and follow a daily spiritual practice, unearth my own theology, participate in group community service projects, and gain a better understanding of Unitarian Universalism. Did I realize my hopes? Not entirely. But I came away with a foundation, a taste of the possibilities. And here are just some of my gleanings. I've been touched by 8 people's lives. They have trusted me. They have shared. They have listened to me. And what more can I ask of them, really? As for my theology, well, there was no aha moment for me. The closest was Buddhism and Pema Chodron's book, Start Where You Are. I must admit, I feel adrift, but I'm trying to look at it as I'm leaving myself open to possibilities, to promises, to potential. I discovered it is not easy developing, finding, and following a spiritual practice on a daily basis. The first thing that struck me as I was reading our everyday spiritual practice book is that some contributors, many of them clergy, have a hard time maintaining a daily practice. At first, I was dismayed. If they can't do it, how can I expect myself to do it? As I read more, I realized they are just like me. They get distracted. Life pushes in. They stop the practice, even though they know it's good for them. Then it takes them a long time to get back to doing it, or to tweak it, or try something new. They're on a spiritual journey, too. We sampled a different spiritual practice at each meeting, such as finger labyrinths, music and sound. I am drawn to sounds. My porch chimes beckon me. My imbira instrument, kirtan chants, and as you experience, the Tibetan singing bowls. All of that is magical. There was dance and movement, but more of that was at home than at the meetings. Some shared that they came to realize that their work was their spiritual practice. Wow. Listening to poetry or prose, the imagery that inspired in me really surprised me. Chuck Manning shared one that changed how I approach meditation. As he read, I felt large white wings embrace me from behind. It was so calming, so safe. Other times as I meditated, there were swirling, glittery colors of golds and reds, full of energy, just filling my body. Spiritual practice is one aspect of Wellspring. Another valuable component are the topics we discussed. Now, about those discussions and their reading assignments. I am not much of an intellectual. I don't consider myself a thinker. Many of the topics were new concepts, foreign to me, way over my head. If I had a hard time understanding them and breaking them down so they made sense to me, how was I going to express my thoughts to those in my group? And that was a safe place, and they were willing to listen to me. This was a big stumbling block for me. And it was something that haunted me, and I was often quiet. I wish I had spoken to Dave or Kathy, our co-facilitators, about this when it first began to bother me. I could have. They are open and caring people. But I did not. I may not have spoken much during our meetings, but I certainly listened and I learned. I have been told that I brought a positive energy to our group. I will hold on to that. Wellspring has given me a good start to a new self and a new spiritual life. It is up to me to pursue, dig deeper, explore more the topics, spiritual practices, and connections I've discovered, and the friendships I have made. My Wellspring experience, a source of continual supply.
So you can see that Lee is not here today. I'm channeling her. She's in Indiana. It's her mom's 80th birthday, so they're celebrating. But she did write a reflection, and I'm honored to read it. And she writes, "What brought me to Wellspring? In the summer of 2012, I had a crisis of faith. Questions that troubled me as a youth came restlessly and unbidden. Why are we here? If there is a God, why doesn't God intervene to prevent evil in the world? What happens to us when we die?" And there were new, even more personal and intense questions. What is my life's purpose? And how can I come to grips with the fact that I can't always do what I feel I'm supposed to do? Ironically, I had just finished my credentialing process with the UUA, my 3-year project to become a credentialed religious educator was done. I should have been joyful and full of purpose in my job, but I was unsettled emotionally and spiritually. Credentialing celebrations were over. I missed my 2 daughters. One was working at Unirondack that summer. The other was abroad for a year. My husband Kevin and I were fixing up our house in order to sell it. It would be our first move in 25 years. Those hot summer evenings stretched out one after another. Kevin and I watched movies from Netflix, sitting on our couch. Rooms were half painted. The attic, garage, and shed were almost imperceptibly getting cleared out. And of course, there was plenty of work for me at FUSA. Kevin was patient with my weary, almost nightly question, "What is the point of all this?" And by this, I meant more than just the house and work. That fall, I read a blog by Hope Perlman, a local blogger and aspiring writer. She recounted her experience on Rosh Hashanah, the holiest of Jewish holidays. Being a high holy day Jew, she meant to be in services that morning, or at least meditating and observing the fast. But at 10 o'clock a.m., she was still in her PJs and gnawing on a pie crust. "Why do anything?" she asked. "Why not just eat the crust off the apple pie and stop the morning shoulder and neck exercises? Who cares if I can turn my head anyway? There's nothing to see." Oh, how these thoughts sounded familiar to me. I read on eagerly. Hope finally made it to the services that evening and was moved by the rabbi's words about keeping things in balance. Hope's rabbi mentioned a rabbi of old who said he kept 2 scraps of paper in his pocket. One said, "I am dust and ashes." The other one said, "The world was made for me." He would take out each slip of paper as necessary as a reminder to himself. I am dust and ashes. The world was made for me. For a year, I gingerly held on to these conflicting ideas. They didn't answer my intense questions about life and the ultimate, but they did ground me just enough to be okay spiritually. For almost a year, I moved through my world simply being okay with not having the answers. In the summer of 2013, Dave Monroe asked me if this would be the year I would do Wellspring. After some consideration, I said yes. I felt a little unsure about it initially, but I'm so glad I did. I brought my questions, my uncertainty, my curiosity to the Wellspring. The readings were inspiring. I was so moved by the stories of my fellow Wellspringers, if that's what we are. I was blessed in my meetings with my spiritual director. Now I am so much more joyful as I continue in my spiritual development. I don't have all the answers, of course, but I've started some helpful spiritual practices. The next time you see me, you might notice that I often wear a bracelet on each arm now. One is gray to remind me of ashes. The other is blue to remind me of the world.
I began Wellspring with many fundamental questions. Two of them were, why am I here? What should I do with the rest of my life? I found some answers to these questions in the work we did together, in the quiet time I spent with myself, and in the time I spent with my spiritual director. Dick Gilbert, the former minister of the First Unitarian Church of Rochester, gave me some answers in his meditations. I'll be reading three of these today. I recite them to myself aloud each morning as part of my spiritual practice. Why am I here? Dick Gilbert gave me one answer in his meditation, the universe's poem. And what I'd like to invite you to do, if you're comfortable doing it, is close your eyes and absorb the words. And at the end of each of the three readings, I'll ring the chime. The universe's poem. On this holy day and in this holy hour, let us learn that we are words in the universe's poem. It is an epic poem of grand scope and cosmic reach. It is a poem of stars and seasons, heaven and earth, life and death. And we are the words that help give rhyme and rhythm and meaning to the stanza in which we find ourselves. It is a fragment of a couplet, yet essential to the whole. Without us, it lacks completion. May we be worthy words in the universe's wide frame. May we be grateful participants in the poem, and may we celebrate its beauty, truth, and grace. Wellspring has taught me to move beyond my ego, to have a greater appreciation of my small impact in the world around me. It also helped me see and appreciate connections that I might have missed before. Another meditation from Dick Gilbert that I recite each morning is the gift of today. And again, I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. The gift of today. Life is measured in years, but it is lived in hours. Life tales are told in generations of past, present, and future, while they are lived 1 hour at a time. The gift of life is not a gift of great sweeps of years, but in the single hour, the hour we live now. It is tempting to live off the capital of yesterday or the anticipation of tomorrow, but it is today that the hands of the clock measure the hours of our lives, and it is the presence of time within us that tells its significance. Why must we live in that can never again be, or the future that has not yet come? Let us look at the gift of today and fall on our knees in gratitude. So the second big question, what should I do with the rest of my life? I spent my life becoming who I am now. When I was young, like my granddaughter, I became new every day. Then I got older, and I began to feel like I was faking it. Sometimes I was actually fearful that the world would find out and my whole world would collapse. This lasted for many years while I appeared to be successful to most people. Then I began to realign my true self with my outer self. I started becoming new again each day. Wellspring helped me do this. My days are full now, and I try to let my life speak. One last meditation from Dick Gilbert. The poignancy of living in these days. And again, I invite you to close your eyes and appreciate the words. I inhale and exhale in regular rhythm, an act so common it never occurs to me to pay attention. And when I do, I am overwhelmed by the wonder of it all. I eat my food as I have done for 1,000,000 days, a practice so frequent I hardly notice the miraculous million events that happen in my body. And when I do notice, I am taken with their singular beauty. I greet my loved ones as I have greeted them for years, a habit that I pass off casually until I realize the deep poignancy of greetings and farewells. How precious they are. How they touch deeper feeling chords each time. Perhaps it is middle age, or old age, or perhaps sentimentality grows in me, or perhaps I am awakening to life in ways transcending my usual semi-awake state of being. The poignancy of living in these days penetrates me, burrows deep into my psyche, or soul, or spirit. I know not what. I only know that I feel things more deeply with the passing years, that the common things of life become uncommon, that the ordinary becomes extraordinary, that the habitual becomes sacred, that tears and laughter flow more easily. Bittersweet is the poignancy of living in these days. I awaken myself and bow down in deep gratitude.
The Wellspring course last September, I was primarily interested in exploring the history of Unitarianism and Universalism, both in Europe and in America. After several discussions in our sessions and in the reading material, I discovered a rich history to build on. My spiritual journey has been evolving since my adolescence, and after searching many religions, becoming a pantheist made the most sense to me. Joining the FUSA community in 98 gave me the opportunity to explore it further, and on returning to FUSA this past fall, I discovered that Wellspring was being offered and events in my life had changed, so I signed up to explore more deeply my ongoing journey as a UU and a pantheist. Being the oldest by 20 years at least, I discovered that my past personal growth workshops, which encompass Native American Hinduism, peso body work, and drama had given me a good grounding. Having a spiritual director to join me on my journey was an added gift. Being in a group of unique individuals, all at different levels of openness, willing to share their journeys, helped in my continued exploration, along with the readings for each session. Having the freedom for the ongoing search of spirituality is what Wellspring Sessions has given me, as I don't think one's spiritual growth ever stops. So in ending, I encourage others to take the trip of discovery. It is well worth it.